Would you be interested in 20% back on Domino's, movie tickets, home improvement stores, and more? Check out mygiftcardsplus.com, where you can buy gift cards to popular stores for up to 20% cash back just in time for the holidays. You can also link up your mygiftcardsplus.com account to your Swagbucks account and use the cash back you earn towards more gift cards, Visa gift cards, or even cash out with PayPal payments. And each month, you can get a $25 gift card for only 2,200 points through Swagbucks, which is an additional 12% savings. Check out the link in the show notes to try out Swagbucks. Thank you to Swagbucks for partnering with this episode of the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast. Welcome to the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast, a show for anyone wanting to level up their travel hacking lifestyle. I'm your host, Julia Menez. I'm a travel hacker, coach, speaker, Filipino-American ENTJ who loves solid travel gear and using shortcuts on spreadsheets. On this show, I'm on a mission to bring you travel hackers from all walks of life to help you level up your travel hacking game. We dive into credit cards, miles, points, strategy, mindset, and the secrets behind how to travel the world for next to no cost. So let's get hacking.
For a while in the travel hacking community, there was a term called Kevining that meant booking a flight last minute. And I've cut some pretty close ones. Like, I think my record close call was booking. I hopped in an Uber, I want to say at like 9 o'clock for a 10 p.m. departure out of O'Hare on Lufthansa to Frankfurt. And I didn't have a ticket yet. So I ended up like going to the counter. They couldn't do anything. So I ended up having to call United on the spot. So this is where status is helpful because I got to jump the line in the phone call center queue. Ended up calling United, ticketing a flight in first class on Lufthansa. I think the flight was at 10 o'clock and this probably was at like 9:40, I want to say. And then like I go running up to the Lufthansa counter. They're closed. Like, people left a long time ago. So I go behind the counter to where the offices are. And I'm like, hey, like, can you like check me in? And she's like, sir, the flight closed for check-in like 30 minutes ago. And then I'm like, yeah, I know, but I just bought this ticket. And then I'm flying first class. And she's like, oh, you're flying first class. Okay, let me do this. She checked me in. She called the gate and was like, okay, we have one more passenger. She escorted me through security. I got to the gate and they're like, oh, Mr. Song, we've been waiting for you. So they put me in the first class suite and we take off. And it was pretty last minute, but it was a lot of fun.
Hey there, points people. You just heard a clip by Kevin Song. Kevin is a longtime award traveler, hotel enthusiast, airline expert, and an instrument-rated private pilot. He's a member of the all-inclusive advisory panel for The Points Guy, former TPG contributor, and regularly speaks at FTU, Chicago seminars, and other events. In this episode, Kevin gives us a deep dive for all things Hyatt, which is where he used to work. We cover status, upgrades, employee perks, and more. If you are looking to stay at more Hyatt hotels, you'll definitely want to check out the World of Hyatt personal credit card. You'll get a free Category 1 through 4 award night each year, 5 elite nights towards your elite status, and more. Remember, never ever apply for a card through Google. Always use a friend or creator's referral links. If you are interested in supporting this show when you apply for your next card, or you want to learn more about the World of Hyatt personal card, check out the link in the show notes. Now, on with the show. Hey, Kevin. Welcome to the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast.
Hey, Julia. Nice to have you. Nice to be on here.
I am so excited to have you here. And as a lot of our listeners know, I'm Team Hyatt, and I got my globalist status this year, got to do all sorts of awesome redemptions and a lot more in the future. And you actually used to work at Hyatt. So we will jump into that today and all of the cool things that we both love about the Hyatt program. But before we get into all of that, tell us a little bit about your background and how you got into the game of points and miles.
Sure. So I've been doing travel hacking for probably about, well, I'm 28 now, so 10 years on the dot. I started when I was 18 and got my first credit card, but I've been a contributor for TPG. I'm currently on their all-inclusive advisory panel. I speak at FTU, Chicago seminars, and things like that. And I love doing this for fun, and I love meeting everybody in the travel hacking community, and it's a lot of fun, and it brings me a lot of joy to be able to do some things that would ordinarily be completely out of reach.
How did you hear about the game of points and miles when you were only 18?
So I think when I turned 18, I got this credit card. I just like Googled credit cards or something like that. And I ended up getting an Amex Blue Cash as my first credit card. And I wanted eventually to redeem them for a flight. I actually still remember it was for spring break. So it was from Chicago to Orlando because we're going to Disney World. And I Googled something like redeem Amex for flight, something like that. And I first came across this thing called membership rewards. Well, turns out the card that I had didn't earn any membership rewards. So that was a bummer. So I kind of dove in from there. I remember after that first card, I had gotten the Amex Everyday card, which does earn membership rewards. And I remember my first redemption was transferring Amex points to British Airways to redeem for an American Airlines flight to Florida, to Orlando. And yeah, the rest is history. And it's kind of like jumping into a deep cave because there's nooks and crannies everywhere and there's so many different directions it can take you. But eventually you get trapped in there and you start doing it more and more and you really start to see the value that you can get out of travel hacking.
So at what point did you end up working for Hyatt? Because obviously you got into the points and miles game before you started working full time. So was this just kind of a goal as you were going through school of I want to work for one of these programs?
So my first job out of college was actually working for Deloitte. So I was in consulting for a few years. And I did the whole, you know, consulting grind, traveling Monday through Thursday every single week and going to random places in the middle of nowhere where my clients were. And, you know, it was fun for a little bit, but it did get, you know, old. But I saw a job opportunity come up at Hyatt. At the time, I still am in cybersecurity. So I joined the cybersecurity team over at Hyatt. And I was there for about 5 years. And it was a great experience there, honestly. The people there are really great. And it's a great work environment. I had a lot of fun. I learned a lot, definitely. And yeah, I don't regret going there at all. I think it was a fantastic experience.
What are some of your favorite aspects of the Hyatt program?
So I think for me, the Hyatt program, there's a lot to like about it, as you know. But for me, the biggest thing is relative consistency. And what I mean by that is I can go to a Hyatt property and I mean, there's exceptions here and there. Expect to get breakfast and get club lounge access if there is a club lounge, things like that. You know, the award rates are reasonable, you know, topping out at 30K points for Hyatt properties or some are now 40K for the SLH properties. And of course, now there's off-peak in rates as well. But by and large, they remain pretty reasonable compared to a lot of the competitors. And I think there's some pretty unique benefits that Hyatt has done, for example, guest of honor. So, you know, if my family is traveling and they want to, you know, use redeem points for an award, I can guest of honor them and they'll get globalist benefits even though they aren't globalist themselves. And, you know, I think there's a ton of positives about the Hyatt program. And overall, it's a pretty well-rounded program. And I love earning globalist every year. It's always the first program that I earn status in. But I am also a Marriott Titanium at the moment. And then, of course, with credit cards, it's easy to get IHG Platinum and Hilton Diamond as well.
Yeah. Wow. You have statuses with all of the different programs there. And with Hyatt, it is really easy to just get a lot of nights because now that they have off-peak pricing, you can get a free hotel night for as few as 3,500 points if it's off-peak. Generally, you'll be paying about 5,000 for a category one. And like you said, it goes up to 30,000 for like Park Hyatts and then 40,000 for the SLH hotels, like the fantastic Canavés Oia Suites in Greece that I'm excited to visit in next May. So you said you get globalist every year. How many years have you had globalist?
You know, I've been a globalist since the introduction of the World of Hyatt program and then Diamond before that, back when it was the Hyatt Gold Passport program. I think I was a Diamond for about 3 years before the change. So I've probably been a globalist for maybe 7 or 8 years now.
So you can almost get lifetime globalist, right? Because that's after 10 years of having globalist in a row?
No, the lifetime status of Hyatt actually is a little bit different. It's done based on lifetime base points now. So unfortunately, I'm still a little bit short of that since so many of my nights are, you know, award nights or you know, cheap knights or things like that. But ultimately, you do need just a set number of lifetime base points to get lifetime globalist.
So in a normal year, not 2021, it would take 60 elite knights to get globalist. How do you get 60 knights per year?
So back when I was, you know, traveling for work, that was easy because I would get 60 knights within a few months. But now I think Hyatt does a pretty good job of allowing you to earn knights in other ways other than, you know, staying in a hotel. So the Hyatt credit card is my main avenue. Every year I get 5 knights for having the Personal World of Hyatt credit card from Chase. And then also for every, you know, 5K of spend, I get, you know, 2 knights of elite credit. I also recently got the Chase World of Hyatt business card, which doesn't give you those 5 knights as a base, but you do get a slightly increased rate of earning. You get, for every 10K spent, you get 5 knights. So that helps a little bit. So I do have a good number of knights coming in through credit card spend, but you know, primarily, by and large, I do still stay probably a solid 40 to 50 nights a year in a hotel anyway.
Is this just for mattress runs to get the status? Is it for actual vacations? Is it for work? What are these nights for?
Mostly for actual vacations. I like to make the most of it. And even if I do need to do a mattress run, I will, you know, make that into a vacation usually. I try not to, you know, waste nights and waste points. And there are times where it could make sense to do that. But why waste it when you can turn it into a great vacation? So, you know, as an example, last year during COVID, I spent about a month in Colorado skiing and staying at the Grand Hyatt Vail and the Park Hyatt Beaver Creek, which was a ton of fun. And I was a pretty novice skier at the time. So I definitely improved a lot on the skiing front. And, you know, I would work during the day, and then, you know, after work or during lunch or something like that, just, you know, go up for a run since they're ski in, ski out properties. And, you know, that was a lot of fun.
Were these all on points?
A lot of them were on points. I also took advantage of the work from Hyatt rate that they were having back. They still have it now, but back then the work from Hyatt rate was very good. And it ended up being about, if I remember correctly, $170 for the Grand Hyatt Vail, with a $50 credit every single day. So the net rate was like one. And actually, a bunch of us ended up taking advantage of that rate. And we had a little points and miles meetup over at the Grand Hyatt Vail with 10 or so people, which is a lot of fun. But yeah, there's definitely deals out there. And if you catch one, it's definitely worth taking advantage of.
I love these different Hyatt promos because that's how I got to globalist. I'm about to get to 60 nights now, but it's also November when we're recording this. So I got to my first 30 nights pretty quickly. In January and February, they gave you 2 elite nights for every night that you stayed. So I think I stayed 13 nights, multiply that by 2. That was 26. And then I had my 5 free elite nights from the credit card. So that's how I got to what we call baby globalist, because they only require 30 nights for 2021. So when you can take advantage of all of these different Hyatt programs and promotions, it makes it a lot easier to get to top tier status.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, a lot of people, actually, this is the first time I've heard baby globalist. I usually hear globalist light. So I like that. I like baby globalist. But, you know, a lot of people knock it because it's not, you know, don't consider it full-fledged globalist because you don't get the milestone rewards. So namely the concierge and the suite upgrade awards. But honestly, I rarely use my concierge, and, you know, suite upgrade awards are nice, but I think, you know, having baby globalist or globalist light is perfectly okay. And I think it's still a great program, even without the suite upgrade awards.
Yeah, let's talk about those suite upgrade awards. So some people think that once you get globalist, you'll just get upgraded automatically every time, which doesn't actually happen. I think I went through about 3 or 5 Hyatt stays in a row without actually getting any upgrades because I was just staying in a hotel that was mostly sold out. So it is a myth that as soon as you get globalist, you'll just always get the nicest suite every time. The way that people guarantee themselves to get upgrades is with these upgrade certificates. So can you tell us a little bit about how do you get these and how do they work?
Yeah, so I think suite upgrade awards are by far the most generous suite upgrade, you know, tool out of all the hotel programs. And essentially, if you get a suite upgrade award and you get them by earning a certain number of elite nights in a year, so you get 2 at 50 nights and 2 at 60 nights. And if you go beyond 60 nights, you can elect to get more at that point. So suite upgrade awards let you upgrade any stay that's paid or on points. So essentially any eligible rate or on points, upgrade to a base suite as long as there's a base suite available. So that's pretty generous. And it's confirmed at booking or confirmed at the time you apply the upgrade. And it applies to up to 7 nights at a time. So that's pretty generous. So if you're a 60-night globalist, you're going to get 4 every year. So if you use them for stays that are a little bit longer, 4 or 5 nights, 6 nights, 7 nights, you're going to end up spending about a month or a little bit less than that in a suite every year, which is fantastic.
Yeah, I used that one during my trip to Spain. And so we were able to upgrade our room for the full 7 nights, which you can get a lot of value out of one suite upgrade certificate that way.
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, what are some of your favorite Hyatt hotels that you've ever stayed at?
Oh, that's a tricky question. I've stayed at a lot of really awesome ones, but I'll name a few. I recently went to the Alila Ventana Big Sur, which I absolutely loved. I highly recommend it if you're able to find space there. It's not a big property, so it is hard to find award space, but I was able to find 30K space for 3 nights. So I spent 90K points there. We ended up getting upgraded to highest end suite, which is actually the cottage. So it's a standalone building away from everyone else. It was an incredible experience, and I really, really enjoyed it. Highly recommend it.
How did you get this upgrade?
I actually just got lucky. I didn't ask for it. I didn't say anything. they just gave it to me. Just showed up in my app when I went to go check in, and when I showed up, they gave it to me. It was pretty great.
No suite upgrade certificate?
No, I didn't use a suite upgrade certificate. I actually couldn't. I would have used one, but I couldn't find space because the standard suites were already booked up. And you know what? I like that place so much that as soon as I left, I actually booked another stay for exactly a year from then. So I'll be going back July 4th of 2022. And this time I did apply a suite upgrade award. There was both 30K space as well as a suite upgrade confirmable space. So I did get a confirmed suite next year.
I think the Alila Ventana Big Sur is one of those aspirational properties that a lot of people want. And to get the space there, especially if you're going to go in the summer, you have to do it a year in advance because it sells out so fast for points.
It does. It is hard to get, but honestly, just put something on the calendar and hope you'll be able to use it a year from now and keep looking. And I think most people I've talked to have been able to find space. And really, there's only, I want to say 40-something rooms. So that's why it's so difficult to find space, but it's totally worth it.
Nice. What are some of your other favorite properties?
I would say some other ones I really enjoyed have been Miraval, Arizona, the one in Tucson. I haven't been to the Austin or Berkshires one yet, but I really enjoyed my stay in Tucson. Park Hyatt Sydney, we got upgraded to a Opera House view room, which was beautiful, you know, waking up and see the Sydney Opera House there. And then Andaz Tokyo was really nice. We love that property. Again, we got upgraded to view facing the Tokyo Tower. So you'd wake up and the Tokyo Tower is just sitting in front of you, which is really great. I think there's a ton of aspirational properties out there, like Park Hyatt Abu Dhabi. We got a villa there as well. In Europe, I actually really like Great Scotland Yard Hotel in London. It's a little bit different from all the other resorts I've been talking about, but it's a great location and it's a beautiful hotel. And of course, there's the Park Hyatt Paris, which everyone talks about and is always great. But actually, you know what? My first redemption as a globalist ever, I was actually using the Category 1-7 cert that they gave you, was at the Park Hyatt New York. And that was a great stay too. They upgraded us to the Terrace Suite. And I think it was like, I want to say it was like $2,000 or $3,000 a night for the room that they upgraded us to. And that was the night before I started my job at Hyatt. So I stayed on a Saturday night into Sunday. We went and watched Hamilton. We got tickets from Amex, which was awesome. Back when Amex Platinum Concierge had Hamilton tickets available, and they're pretty impossible to get otherwise. So we did that trip, and then I started my job at Hyatt on Monday.
What time of year was this?
It was, I believe it was May or June. It would have been June. It would have been 2017.
This is pretty high season for New York as well. That's impressive to get the upgrade at the Park Hyatt New York during that time.
Yeah, yeah, I got really lucky there as well.
No suite upgrade there either?
No suite upgrade there either. And I was on the category 1 through 7 cert, so I couldn't even have applied the suite upgrade if I wanted to, since those don't apply for certificate nights.
Weekend.
It was a weekend, yeah, Saturday night. Yeah.
That's crazy. That is so lucky to be able to get that kind of upgrade on a weekend in the summer in New York.
Yeah, yeah, it really was.
And you named so many different brands through some of these grid properties. So let's talk a little bit about Brand Explorer perks. And I think this is one of those cool Hyatt tricks that some people might not know about.
Yeah. So the Brand Explorer basically gives you a category 1 through 4 certificate for every 5 different brands you stay at. And it's actually in your lifetime. So unfortunately, if you hit all of them, you can't go back and hit them again for another cert. So I'm pulling up my profile right now, and I think I've got, I have 14 of the brands right now. So I'm missing 4 of them, but I'm actually trying to delay hitting my next one because my next one's going to be 15, which is going to trigger my last night. And right now, because of COVID, I just have certificates that I don't know what to do with them. But it's a great program. It encourages you to try more brands and try them out. Any eligible night that you would earn an Alight credit for, you would also get a Brand Explorer credit for. So I highly encourage you to check out the different brands and check them off.
That's awesome. So with as many nights as you're staying in Hyatt, how do you also have time to get Marriott Titanium?
So Marriott was an interesting one because at the beginning of this year, because of COVID, they gave everybody half of the elite nights from your last year's status. So last year I had Marriott Platinum, so they gave me 25 nights to start with this year, plus credit card nights. This year they also changed it so that if you had a Marriott personal card and a Marriott business card, you would earn the elite night credits from both cards. Before, it was just if you had a personal card and a business card, you'd only earn this one set of elite night credits, but now you get both sets. So that helped a lot. And then that pretty much, so that put me at platinum already. And then I had a bunch of nights at some Marriotts. I went down to Charleston for a week to get my instrument rating. I'm a pilot. I stayed at a Marriott there, so that got me a week there. For the 50-night, choose your own perk reward or whatever they call it, I chose 5 elite night credits, so that added 5. And then it was just a few more nights, and I got to 75, so I'm a Marriott Platinum now. Marriott Titanium now, which I mostly wanted actually because of United Silver. It sounds weird to want it for a airline benefit, but United Silver has actually been pretty good for me as well.
What do you get with United Silver?
So United Silver, I mostly got it for the preferred seating as well as being able to choose Economy Plus within 24 hours. You do technically get on the upgrade list, but unless it's like a really random flight that nobody else is on, you probably won't get upgraded. But I actually have gotten upgraded on United Silver before, luckily. We were actually flying from Chicago to Calgary to go to Banff, and I managed to score an upgrade on that flight. But by and large, I mostly do it for the Economy Plus seating, which is a lot more easily available. I live in Chicago, so I split my loyalty between United and American, almost exclusively American. But on occasion, when United has better timings or better flights, I'll fly them. And United Silver comes in handy there. On American, I am Executive Platinum, and I've been for many, many years. And that's my airline and alliance of choice at the moment. And next year, they announced that they're completely changing the way they do elite earning. So I'll be sticking with them for a little bit longer.
What kind of perks do you get at that status level with American?
For Executive Platinum, you get pretty much top priority for upgrades is the biggest one. Even on award tickets, that's the big one. Other elite levels don't get upgrades on award tickets. And at Gold or Platinum, you have to spend stickers, they call it, or 500 mile upgrades for those upgrades. But at Platinum Pro and Executive Platinum, you don't. Upgrades are complimentary. Of course, you get One World Emerald status, which is always great. You obviously get free changes and standbys and all of that jazz. But I think the perk that actually excites me the most is, at least pre-COVID, is that you get a free food and free drinks on board when you're flying economy. That was always fun to take advantage of. Of course, they don't have a food and beverage service in economy anymore because of COVID, but hopefully that'll return soon. We get 3 checked bags, which I rarely use, but it's useful on occasion when you do need it. And if you're traveling internationally, you can use the flagship lounge as well as flagship check-in, which are both good perks as well. But you know, for me, I think the perk I use probably the most is the upgrades. When you can, you know, book a super cheap ticket and get upgraded to first class, that's always a plus. And if you pick your flights right, it's actually a pretty decent upgrade chance, even out of O'Hare. I would say I've been upgraded probably on 80 to 90% of my flights, which is pretty good compared to other programs.
If you are listening to this episode thinking, I want to travel like this, but I need step-by-step directions, one of the best ways to level up your travel hacking game is by talking with other points people. I give away a free one-on-one coaching call each week. The secret link to sign up is in my weekly newsletter, which goes out every Monday and is first come, first served to grab the free call. Also, I host a masterclass and group coaching session every month. You can find the links to sign up for the newsletter, monthly masterclass, and Patreon, which gets you access to the masterclasses and also recordings of past events, all in the show notes. This week's Patreon shout out goes out to Marie. Thank you so much for being a part of the GeoBreeze Travel Patreon community. What's your favorite points and miles redemption that you've ever gotten to do?
So I think for me, first I want to say I travel a lot, so it's really hard to pick a favorite. But you know, for me, it's about the experiences that you have and the people that you share it with. So the one I'm going to call out is for my honeymoon. So we got married in 2017. So for my honeymoon, I booked using AA Miles Etihad Apartments to the Maldives. On the way there, we stayed at the Park Hyatt Abu Dhabi, and then we stayed at the Park Hyatt Maldives, actually. And then on the way back, we flew Cathay Pacific first class and did a stopover in Hong Kong and stayed at the Grand Hyatt Hong Kong there. It was a really fantastic trip. And I think that being able to share something like that with your significant other or with a friend or whoever it might be, that's really why I do this whole travel hacking thing. And you know what? We loved our stay in the Maldives so much that we actually went back the next year and stayed at the St. Regis Maldives, which is also a lot of fun as well. They're both great properties, and we got a fantastic deal on it. So it was a trip of a lifetime. And also being able to take a shower at, you know, 35,000 feet is something that it just doesn't compare to anything else.
Are there employee discounts or any other perks that you get for being an employee with Hyatt, or do you just pay the same rates as everybody else?
There actually are pretty good employee benefits. So as an employee, and it doesn't matter what employee you are, you could be the CEO, or you could be someone working in housekeeping or in the restaurant or the bellman, front desk, doesn't matter. Every employee gets 12 comp nights, we call it. So 12 free nights a year. They're capacity controlled, but if you can find, you know, availability, then you can book 12 nights for free, Hyatts around the world. For aspirational properties, it's obviously difficult to find those. But if you can plan ahead and book when the schedule opens, you know, a year or 13 months out, then it's actually pretty decently easy to use them. And I did take advantage of those quite a bit. You also get employee rate nights, which tend to be pretty good as well. In the US, it's usually about like 100 to, it ranges from, it's based on the award category of the hotel, but it ranges from somewhere around $80 to like $189, depending on the category. And those are a lot easier to get. We also get friends and family rates, which are similar, but a little bit higher than that. And then internationally, it's a certain percentage off of the public rate, pretty good percentage off the public rate. And then also at America's Hotels, you get a 50% food and beverage discount, which is actually pretty huge because it turns, you know, those menus from being expensive to quite reasonable. So we found ourselves enjoying a lot of dinners and things like that at hotels that which we otherwise, you know, wouldn't have been able to pay for, and that would have been really expensive. I remember my favorite one was eating at the Blue Duck Tavern in Washington, D.C. at the Park Hyatt Washington. And for those of you that don't know, Blue Duck Tavern was at the time, it recently isn't, but was a Michelin-starred restaurant in the hotel. So we got 50% off of our Michelin-star meal, which is great.
And I bet that makes it a lot easier to get globalist each year. If you have 12 of your nights are already comped, those all count towards the 60? Is that correct?
No, unfortunately, they don't.
Oh, no. I was thinking, if you have 12 out of 60, then that makes it so much easier. But those don't even count.
No, unfortunately, they don't. So that's one big difference between Hyatt's employee program and Marriott's. Is that Marriott's employee nights actually towards elite status, and you earn points on it. But at Hyatt, they don't, unfortunately.
What about the employee rates, if you were just paying a discounted rate? No?
No, unfortunately not.
So you were staying 12 nights plus all of those discounted nights plus 60 nights. So you just lived at Hyatt.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. I will say that the credit card spend definitely helps with that for sure.
Yeah. I guess if you're putting all of that onto a Hyatt credit card, if you have an employee rate that you're putting on a Hyatt credit card, are you still getting all of the usual Hyatt bonus earnings for
that
those?
You do. Yep. Yep. Okay. So you still earn the 4X if you put it on your Chase World of Hyatt credit card. And one perk I actually didn't mention is that employees get 10% off gift cards. So that actually ends up usually being a better option because that's essentially taking 10% off your stay, which is usually worth more than 4X points.
For Hyatt gift cards.
For Hyatt gift cards, yeah.
That's awesome. How are you spending this much on your cards, if you don't mind me asking? Are you doing buying groups, or like, is this just organic spend where you're like, oh, well, we have the money and I just put all of it on my Hyatt credit card? What is all of this going?
It's a little bit of a mixture of everything. I think the easiest option for a lot of people is actually going to be reimbursing work expenses. So if your company lets you put expenses on your personal card and get reimbursed for them, you know, if you travel or something like that, that tends to add up a lot. And, you know, if you travel frequently for work, that often ends up being, you know, like 50, 60,000 a year. But outside of that, I do participate in buying groups a little bit. They're an option to get there. I think in the last few months, it's gotten a little bit harder to participate in them because of inventory issues and things like that. But I am active in those, as well as I do gift cards and things like that to try and boost my spend when possible. We had used American Airlines miles on the way there on Etihad. So we had booked Chicago to New York JFK to Abu Dhabi to the Maldives. And that was all a one ticket. I think if you did that now, it would be higher than it was back then. But I want to say it was, I can't remember exactly how much. Is that 70,000 or 110,000? It's been a while since I booked that per person. And then a Cathay Pacific to Hong Kong and then back to the United States in first class, we had used Alaska Airlines miles. And I think Alaska is a really, really good value program. You can redeem, you know, Cathay Pacific and Japan Airlines business class and first class for very reasonable rates. And the best part about it is that you get a free stopover. So because we were spending time in Hong Kong with my wife's family, she's from Hong Kong, I got to add on that flight for the same price as it would have cost us to fly back to the United States at no additional cost. For the stays in Abu Dhabi and the Maldives, it was 30,000 points a night. Actually, at the time, I believe the Maldives stay was 25,000 points a night. It's actually category 6 at the time, which was unbelievable. But we were able to do that. And we stayed there for 5 or 6 nights. So all in all, it wasn't a cheap points redemption. Definitely, you know, it took a lot of points to do it. But the cash rates, you know, adding everything up, especially the flights, I think were well over $50,000. So at the end of the day, you know, it's not something that I could ever pay cash for. But, you know, points and miles helps you do something that would otherwise be unattainable.
Yeah. Oh, that's incredible. Etihad Apartments is one of those aspirational things for me where one day if I can just have an apartment in the sky, that would be really cool. But I think I'm a little ways from doing that too. I just keep spending my points on these cool Europe trips, which no complaints there, but it's going to be a while before I do a full-on Asia trip in first class.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that though. Europe is a lot of fun. I think you went to Madrid recently, right? And
yes.
You did a business class for your first time. Is that right?
That was the first business class flight that I booked on Iberia, but I had to move it so many times. That was actually the second business class flight that I actually got to fly on, because somewhere in that time I booked some JetBlue Mint flights and then flew those to London for an Amsterdam trip. So it got mixed up a little bit, but now I've flown business class twice.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's something that never gets old. Getting on a lie flat seat and being able to sleep a little bit or relax, and it just makes the journey a lot more comfortable.
It definitely does. So as you've been in the game much longer than most people, you started right at age 18, you've been in the game for more than 10 years. Are there any unique viewpoints on points and miles in travel hacking that you have kind of developed over the years?
No, I think one would be that, you know, speaking as someone who has a lot of elite status, I think we talked about, you know, the hotel status and the airline status that I have earlier, and then I have all the car rental status and all of that too. But generally, I would say that elite status actually isn't worth going out of your way to chase. You can definitely get a lot of value out of it, but you can also miss out on a lot of great experiences. And I think that's something that I've only started to realize recently, because, you know, I've been, you know, focusing all my stays at Hyatt or Marriott where I can earn status. And you know, even if there's a better option somewhere else, I'll try and choose Hyatt when I can just because of that. But there's a lot of great boutique hotels out there, and you will never see them if all you do is go on Hyatt.com and search for, you know, the hotels in the city that you want to visit. You know, Airbnbs or vacation rentals or hostels, they're all really great ways to travel, and you miss out on a lot of that. You know, just earlier today, a post in a World of Hyatt group where somebody was asking, you know, should I mattress run 7 nights and, you know, fly somewhere just to check into a hotel and fly back? And I mean, yeah, Globalist is worth a lot, but is it worth that? I mean, that type of trip will probably cost them $1,000 or more, right, just to do that. And that could be worth it, but the other way to think about it is you take that $1,000 and every time you stay at a Hyatt, you can buy yourself an amazing breakfast somewhere else at a diner, and that'll go a lot further. So I think I would say it's not always worth pursuing elite status. It certainly can be, but you know, having that singular focus on elite status can help sometimes, you know, lead you astray a little bit, and you might be blind to other opportunities that come up that are just as great, and you might have a much better experience staying at a boutique hotel in the middle of the city versus an airport Hyatt, for example.
I really like that viewpoint, because as everybody kind of reads through these blogs and looks at all of our Instagrams, where we have all of these big numbers where we say, oh, I saved $3,000 at the Alila or something because I had elite status and I got upgraded because I have Globalist and all of the free breakfast. It's all inclusive anyway, so that one's a bad example. But when you get Globalist breakfast at Park Hyatt in New York or something, it can be worth a lot. And those numbers do look really impressive. But like you said, there's a cost-benefit analysis, and that cost is real. If you are just sleeping at a Hyatt or just checking into a Hyatt and then paying $150 each night for a hotel you're not even staying at just to get these Globalist perks, you do need to run the math on, is it really worth it for you to do that kind of style, or just spend the money out of pocket and your bragging rights at the end of the year are going to be a little bit lower. But overall, like, it depends what you want to optimize for.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. All right. That is awesome advice. And speaking of awesome advice, who are a couple people that you would recommend following on the internet for awesome points and miles tips?
So I'll name a few. Caroline Lupini, which I actually think you just interviewed for a podcast as well. She's great 54. To follow. She's great to follow. She's actually a fellow pilot as well. She recently got her private pilot's license. So congratulations to her. And I know a lot of people in our hobby get interested in aviation, and some of them want to take it further and actually learn to fly themselves. And she's one of the ones that did it. And her journey to get there was incredible. She has a blog or a site and an Instagram called Fly 49 States, if you haven't seen that, where she flies to all 48 contiguous United States plus Alaska on the way to getting her private pilot's license. So she's a great person to follow. And I'll mention Spencer Howard, Straight to the Points. He's great. I've known him since 2015 or 2016. And he's great to follow in this space. He has an awesome award available newsletter as well that I would highly recommend signing up for. And he frequently sends out blasts when there's a ton of great availability for award space, which is often extremely helpful for people who don't necessarily care where they want to go, but are just looking for the great deal. And then we'll book around that. And I mean, I think there's a ton of great people to follow out there. And I would encourage people to follow the lesser known people as well. A lot of them have a ton of great content and aren't, you know, as tied to advertising and affiliates for the revenue. So they're often willing to share a lot of great content.
That's also where you find a lot of those next level tips, I think, is with smaller creators. Because like if Brian Kelly were to say some kind of next level, like super hack for Hyatt, like that would just disappear overnight because hundreds of thousands of people would jump on it. But if you find somebody on Instagram or Twitter who has fewer than 1,000 followers, they can give you those really deep next level tips. And just because somebody has fewer than 1,000 followers doesn't mean they don't know their stuff. They're probably spending a lot more time learning their stuff than like producing photos or writing content or something. So
absolutely.
Yeah, it's a really good thing to know is to follow those smaller creators on Instagram. I try to find them and bring them onto the show because they often don't get featured in a lot of the bigger platforms and channels. And I know that a lot of you guys have such great tips to share with the audience here. Speaking of, where can we find you on the internet?
So you can find me on Instagram. I'm at kev.song. I don't have a ton of content because I recently, was working for Hyatt, so I didn't want there to be conflict of interest. But now that I'm not, I plan on producing a lot more, travel-related content, and you can follow along as I travel around the country and fly as well.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Kevin, for coming onto the show. We learned so much from you today about just Hyatt and status and Marriott and all of the different perks if somebody were looking for jobs at Hyatt. So thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me, Julia.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast. If any of the cards mentioned in today's episode piqued your interest, please check out the links in the show notes for more information on any of the cards. Also, if you apply for a card using the links on that page, I may receive a commission too, so please and thank you. P.S. I hear the links work better in Internet Explorer or Safari, and sometimes the credit card applications tend to glitch out in Chrome. Additionally, it would mean the world to me if you could subscribe to this podcast, leave a 5-star review, and share it with a friend. And if you would like to make even more travel hacking friends, please sign up for the Patreon to access our monthly masterclass hangouts. We dive deep into a particular points program each month, and you'll get to ask all of your travel hacking questions and enjoy being around other people who enjoy points and miles just as much as you and I do. If you would like an invite to the next one, head over to geobreezetravel.com/hangouts to sign up to be on the invite list. Take care and happy travels!